Good morning, everyone. Please be seated.
Our first case is State versus Thomas.
Good morning. May it please the court, Jennifer Winkler on behalf of Mr. Thomas. I would like to reserve 3 minutes. For rebuttal. Thank you. We ask this court to reverse the two voyeurism charges in this case based on warrant over breadth. The search violated the Fourth Amendment as well as Article 1, Section 7. The remedy is suppression of the video in question, and the evidence produced in the search affected both charges. Clearly, it affected the charge based on the video, as well as it did affect It impacted the jury verdict on count one, which was on May 1st, 2017. Mr. Thomas was seen outside the apartment building. So after Mr. Thomas was stopped on May 1st, the police got a warrant for his phone. The affidavit and the warrant list several provisions that are specific to May 1st. I think there might be some problems with those provisions as well, but I guess I went for the low-hanging fruit on this, which was the date issue. The warrant also authorized a search, which had a couple different provisions. The sixth and seventh bullet points to the affidavit as well as the warrant. The sixth bullet point on both is that photos of the two people who were seen having sex, KH and DC, or any parts of a male or female that could be those two, or the apartment building, the interior or exterior, and that's pretrial exhibit 13, the original affidavit and the original warrant. And that is what the court relied on in denying the motion to suppress. The next provision, which is the seventh bullet point, says any other information that is evidence of the above listed crimes, also not date limited. So there was a motion initially that arguing that the information was outside of the warrant. I think given those provisions that it probably arguably was not outside of the warrant, what the warrant said. The problem was the warrant itself. It was overbroad because it was not date limited.
You're not taking issue with the seventh provision, are you?
I have issue with the seventh provision, but that wasn't the one that the court said that it was relying on it. Report of proceedings page 222. Any other information that is evidence of the above listed crime. Now there's cases like McKee and Basola, which we both discuss in the state as well as Mr. Thomas in the briefing, saying that you need to be more specific than that. You need to be specific, more specific than just listing statutory provision. But I don't even think we need to talk about that today, unless, of course, Your Honor wants to, because I think the problem here is the time limitation. And there's
the time limitation on the sixth provision?
The sixth provision, as well as the seventh. So when we're talking about overbreadth, we're talking about there needs to be...
But the time provision, you're in essence saying the only thing you can look for is whether or not he actually completed the crime and took the picture of them, not whether or not there is evidence that he took other steps in an attempt at voyeurism.
Well, if he... If it
and
was
he said it was a mistake. He said, I wasn't there.
Right.
I heard this cry and I came out.
So if it was limited to May 1st or around May 1st, and the reason that we're looking at May 1st is because I don't even think we could look at his phone at all, except for the fact that DC said, I think he was filming us. So that's it. We need to be specific to the probable cause. That's what overbreadth is about. Specificity encompasses both particularity and overbreadth, and they tend to overlap. We're really talking about breadth here, and we're beyond probable cause. There's nothing in here that we would expect to find. There's nothing in the warrant affidavit that we would expect to find to find something from another date. We're very specific to this date. We need to look at what the probable cause is. We don't get to rummage. The state might like to look and see what else he was doing, but they don't get to because we still need probable cause, and it needs to be in the affidavit. It doesn't need to be like out in the world somewhere. It needs to be in this document.
Date restriction aside, isn't the content, though, that's sought in item 6 pretty narrow? It's photos of either the two alleged victims or the apartment building, right?
Right, but I mean, even So it needs to be very specific to the statutory language as well. So it is, you could maybe infer, but I think it might be problematic under McKee and Bisola as well, which cite a statutory provision and have an affidavit that provides what the type of thing might be, people having sex, but they still said it wasn't good enough. Now, maybe you could, because the affidavit was incorporated in this case, and it's unclear to me whether it was properly incorporated in those cases. I did comb through those cases to see, but it seemed like what those cases were wanting was to say, here's what we think is in here, and here's how the statutory language applies. And I think that would be better if we had that here as well, to say, look, this is either there's going to be intimate parts, or it's going to be people taken in pictures or viewing or filming taken in a private location. We just look at what the statute actually says, and the cases seem to prefer use of that actual statutory language, not just a bald citation to the statute, which is what we have here. But really, like I mentioned before, the low-hanging fruit, I think, and I went for it, was that there is no time limitation. And I would like to point this court out to a case that is cited in the Abood case, which we cite in the briefing, which talks about time limitations. Other than the Kiyodara case, which has some language about there needing to be information generated and close in time to the incidents for which the police had probable cause, we've mainly looked at...
That was just a piece of the Kiyodara analysis, though, right?
It was.
We're also concerned about the breadth of the content that was being sought.
Right, and I think that's an issue here. But the federal cases, which talk about the Fourth Amendment and which should guide this court, Cardwell, Abood, and a case cited in Abood that I wish I had had time to cite as additional authority, and I can still do that, and that's the Ford case. It's at 184 Federal 3rd 566, and it says the failure to limit descriptive terms by relevant dates when such dates are available to police will render a warrant overbroad. And the really interesting thing about the Ford case is it gets into that, it doesn't talk about 4B exactly or the federal equivalent. It talks about all the stuff that the state would like to have. And it says, you know what, that's not good enough. Even if you could have tied this to probable cause somehow, you didn't put it in the warrant affidavit. And I will get that specific page site for the court. It is within the Ford case, and it is at page 576. And I'll cut into my rebuttal time. The government argues that it was necessary to seize documents antedating, and it's a bingo operation. All these federal cases are often about financial crimes and the specificity of dates when we're talking about looking into someone's books. And so when the government is looking at these a financial crime committed in a specific time period, and then all of a sudden they're looking at financial documents for a much broader period, the cases really have a problem with that. And I would argue that was analogous in this case. So the government argues it was necessary to seize documents antedating the bingo operation to establish what money Ford had before the bingo business started. So it's sort of similar to a 404B situation where we're looking at intent and things like that. And it says, this argument would allow virtually unlimited seizure of a lifetime's worth of documentation, which is extremely intrusive. At any rate, the rationale was not articulated in the affidavit, and therefore we need not decide whether it would have provided a justification. So regardless of how this court rules as to this, which I believe is a pretty crazy 404B argument, anything that could rebut what he's saying would come in. It's not in the affidavit, even if that was a viable rationale, which I don't believe it is. It's just not in the affidavit. It's just not. So with that, I would reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court. Carla Carlstrom representing the state of Washington. I will also address the cell phone issue and the other issues only if the court has questions. This warrant was particularized. It was very particular as to what could be seized, which photographs could be seized. They were specific photographs of the two victims, their apartment, a male or female that could have been those two victims.
There is nothing in the affidavit to look at any other dates, to look at dates before or any other events. So why would the warrant allow something to go beyond May 1st?
That's correct. I don't believe the affidavit, the original search warrant, said anything about – one of the victims had told the police that a month earlier she thought she'd seen him.
But that wasn't in the affidavit.
No, that was not in the affidavit, Your Honor. So the only information in the affidavit was that this crime occurred on May 1st. I would like to say, however, and respond to – I can't remember. Maybe it was Judge Applewick's question. Evidence of a crime that occurred on May 1st does not consist solely of evidence on May 1st. I mean, obviously, evidence of a crime can consist of lots of information – leading up to that, multitudes of crimes, you're looking for things that might lead up to the crime. In this case, evidence prior to May 1st that this defendant had on his phone, photographs or videos of these victims or their apartment, certainly is evidence of the crime on May 1st. It certainly goes towards intent, lack of accident or mistake. Counsel mentioned in her briefing and again today that somehow the state is not entitled to search for evidence that might rebut a defense or provide 404B, that's simply not correct.
Is there any case law to support that, this notion that because he said that he was merely urinating, that, well, that actually then expands what we can look for?
I was not able to find a specific case on point saying 404B evidence, Your Honor, but I think the reason there's not a case on point is simply because evidence of a crime consists of anything the state might need to prove it. Intent that he was in that backyard, forget about what he said. When you're presenting that case to a jury and he's in this small backyard area, you have to make the jury believe that he intended to look in that window. Because remember, there was no videotape of this incident on May 1st. So any evidence supporting that, for example, that he'd been staking out that apartment, looking at them before, common scheme or plan, that would be relevant to the crime.
Let's say I accept that argument. Why is it, though, okay to have no restriction at all versus some range? Some reasonable range that you can.
Well, let me put it this way. Some reasonable range might have been a good idea. I don't think it's required under the Constitution. I think it's particularized enough that the detective is looking for pictures of these victims. I mean, you could analogize it. For example, let's say the warrant is to search a house for clothing items that a murder defendant was described as wearing. So the police are going through drawers and drawers and drawers of clothing to try to find these items. They're not allowed to seize any items. They're only allowed to seize the items that fit the description. But this is, I mean, in this case, they're allowed to seize items that might fit the description. He could go through lots of thumbnail sketches of photos, which he did. He wouldn't be allowed to seize, and it wouldn't be admissible in court later if it didn't fit the parameters of the warrant. Now, this video did. It was clearly a voyeuristic video looking into blinds of an apartment. Turned out to be the apartment next door. But the detective presumably thought it was the victim he was looking for because he actually showed the photograph to that victim, KH. So when he saw that, he thought it fit. And I would submit to the court that had he not even gotten the addendum, that video still would have been admissible in court because it was retrieved under the parameters of the warrant. He didn't go outside of it to find that. So any evidence he would find on this defendant's phone of these victims or that apartment building is relevant to the state proving this crime, and there would be probable cause to seize that. I don't think you have to go into the analysis of rebuttal evidence or 404B. Evidence of a crime can be 404B. I mean, all of that is evidence of the crime, whether you want to call it common scheme or plan, lack of accident or mistake. It is evidence of the crime committed on May 1st. Whether it comes into court later and is admissible, trial judge will decide that based on the 404B analysis. But it is still probable. There's still probable cause that is evidence of this crime on May 1st.
Do you understand Mr. Thomas to be taking issue with the seventh provision in the warrant?
I heard counsel mention it. I can't recall if it's in the briefing. I will respond to that briefly. I don't in any way think that is analogous to the problems that the courts have found, like in McKee and Bozzola. The seventh provision is simply, it's not saying you get to search a bunch of places. It's simply saying if in searching these areas you've been allowed to search, you come across evidence of the crime, you get to seize it. So in other words, if he's properly looking in these different areas and finds something that maybe they didn't anticipate but is clear evidence of the crime, they get to seize it. The seventh bullet point is not analogous to the bullet points or the provisions in the Bozzola and McKee cases where they said, we believe evidence of the crime on page one can be found in CDs, DVDs, documents, notebooks, and then gives a laundry list that allows the police to search every single thing. That's not doing that, provision seven. It's just saying if you come across something that you didn't anticipate and it's evidence of the crime, take it.
Does the seventh provision at all serve to tacitly limit the scope of the sixth provision in that it says any other evidence of the crime?
That's a good question, Your Honor. I think certainly the sixth and seventh provision are basically saying you can only seize evidence that could be evidence of this crime for which you have probable cause for. So I think they both say that, the sixth and seventh bullet point. I did not have a chance to look at this Ford case that was cited by counsel, and without reading it, I don't want to say a lot. I will say, just from her brief description, it sounds like in that case what was allowed to be searched was a multitude of documents with no date range, and I would say that that is quite different from a case where, yes, he's being allowed to look through photographs or thumbnail images on the phone, but he's looking for specific things and only allowed to seize ones that fit as evidence of this crime. So I think that does satisfy the particularity requirement, does make it very different.
But there's no limit, and that's what's bothersome. There's no limit. He's going all the way back to January 2017, or before. This guy might have had thousands of images on his phone, and they're allowed to search through all of those?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Even though the only evidence is a crime on May 1st?
Well, I would say this. When you look at the cases, for example, Higgins, that talks about the three-factor test, one of the things that you want to do is could it have been described more particularly? And as I said to the court, could it have been? Sure. I suppose he could have put a six-month range, a seven-month range. What the detectives don't know in this case is they have no idea how long he may have been looking at these individuals. So you don't have to put a date range in that situation when you've already described very particularly what you're looking for. And let me also note, I think it was the Bozzola case, or perhaps I think it was Bozzola case. Another huge concern the Supreme Court had was that it allowed police to seize materials that could have been lawful materials. For example, in that case, they were seizing DVDs and CDs of adult pornography that was lawful to have. Yes, under this warrant, the detective was allowed to look through a lot of photos, but that doesn't mean he was allowed to take them, to have them presented in court.
But he used it. He did use them and come back to get a second warrant. And why isn't that?
Do you mean he used?
He put the images in his affidavit to go back to get the second warrant.
He put and specified and talked about the images that were voyeuristic images. So in other words, when he was going through looking for the images of KH and DC, you can analogize it to the plain view. He's coming across other potentially voyeuristic images. He is seeing pictures of blinds, things that are appearing to look like someone is photographing through someone's window. I think it's similar at that point to plain view.
Well, you're
seeing other things. You stop and get your second warrant.
Your response earlier, though, was that the addendum didn't make any difference. And if your position is correct, it would seem to me that in the search, finding other evidence that may be probative that wasn't particularly described in the warrant could have been remedied by going back for a second warrant or an addendum, but not, you know, at some point you're outside the scope.
Let me just make sure I'm clarifying. What I was saying is this particular video, video 19, because when he looked at it, it appeared to be a video going into KH's apartment. I don't think that would have been suppressed even if there had not been an addendum. He definitely had to go to an addendum. If he is then seeing other potential voyeuristic videos that he's not able to say fit what he's allowed to do, which is KH and DC pictures, he would and did have to go back and get an addendum if he wanted to more thoroughly look at anything else and seize anything else that wasn't them. So I think that's why he did that.
Well, if a date range was applicable, he clearly was outside the date range.
I don't think we know what the date range would be for when this defendant might have been looking through the windows of KH and DC's apartment.
Well, let's assume he understood that he should have been looking for something approximately the date on which this event occurred.
That may be.
Would your argument be the same, that even in the course of that, as he's looking at the thumbnails, he discovers something that is probative of a crime, that simply if he goes back and gets another warrant, it's fair game under the open view comparison?
If it's probative of a crime, yes, but he has to go back and get another warrant if it's not probative of this crime. Thank you. I would ask the court to affirm both convictions.
Okay, a couple of points. Detective Hatzenbuehler was rummaging, which is what he's not supposed to be doing. There's some there's some...
You get a photograph and it looks like the same building and that's what you're looking for?
Oh, but it doesn't... There's nothing about it looking like the same building, Your Honor. He said, and I'm going to take this court to page 194 of the verbatim report. Okay, and you didn't know where that video was taken? You weren't sure of the location of the subject of the video? Correct. So he doesn't even know it's the same building. He didn't say that on page 186 or 188, which is what is cited by the state. And he certainly doesn't say that on page 194. So what he's saying is he's just looking for voyeurism, anything that looks voyeuristic. And that brings me to my next point, which is that a cell phone is a treasure trove of documents for the police to look at. And that makes this case like the Ford case. And financial documents have a lot of information. Cell phones have even more than financial documents. As the, I think, Somalia, I don't want to say it wrong, case talks about all these kinds of things that can be on, it can be analogous to garbage. It can be analogous to everything, basically. So there's really no limit. And what Detective Hatzenbuehler is doing here is rummaging, and that's the word that's used to say what is prohibited under the Fourth Amendment. He's looking for things that look voyeuristic. He's looking at blinds. Now, pictures of blinds could be legal. Could be. I mean, pornography in the Bisola case could be legal or it could be illegal, but the court found that it wasn't specific enough. It's not illegal to have pictures of blinds. And Detective Hatzenbuehler, and if we look at what the provision actually says, it says that could be the apartment building, the interior or exterior. The state is claiming that he knows this is the apartment building, but really that's not what the record shows in this case. And that actually illustrates the very problem, which is, again, rummaging. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Thor versus Saunders.